Hurkun o ki trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонс түй хүгчим дур булан. Дагаш дуудан дур була муруулаа.
Hey, we're welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, here with Shang Forbes. We got Sokaju coming in, the legend Sokaju. I'm so excited about this. Man, it's been, thank God for MMA, it's back. And
back. It's weird, but it's back.
And it's funny because everyone was like, I don't want it to be Gaethje versus Ferguson because that'll knock out Ferguson versus Khabib. And after watching how good Gaethje looked, people are now more excited. They're like, you know what? I want to see Gaethje versus Khabib, or I want to see Gaethje versus Conor. That's how good Gaethje looked.
Want Gaethje versus Khabib. I don't want Gaethje versus Conor.
Why is that?
I think I actually bought into what Conor said after he watched. He said he would take his teeth and wear it as a necklace. I think that Conor's that left power, that punch, his left is just ridiculous. But Gaethje just got hard. He got that uppercut that Ferguson did, fucking rocked him, fell to one knee. He looked kind of discombobulated. And then he got back up and just started beating the shit out of Ferguson.
What's crazy about Gaethje is he's like the only fighter that is becoming less reckless that makes me more excited to watch him. Like most fighters, they're like, man, if only he would take more risks. Where he's the guy who are like, you know what? You take enough risks, just calm it down a little bit, and now I'm more excited to see how good you are. Which is like, you can't say that about most fighters. You know, most fighters are like,
Ferguson, but people love Ferguson. I saw all the comments. They're like, ah, fuck, I really wanted to Khabib against Ferguson. But now I'm like, really, I want any fucking UFC fights because I was getting really.
Well, tomorrow night, we got more fights tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
It's Glover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith. Some other really good fights on that. And then, I mean, there were so many good fights. I mean, first of all, Ngannou, right? People are saying because Stipe can't train and Stipe doesn't want to fight right away because his gym isn't open. And he's also a first responder. So you're like, you know what?
Right.
Let's just go right to Ngannou DC, which is a very interesting fight. Because DC says Ngannou is just a bigger, less skilled Anthony Johnson. And
I disagree with that 1,000%.
Right? Because Anthony Johnson was a guy who fought at 170 at one point, who then just kind of blew up to about heavyweight, 220, to whatever he was. Right. You know? Whereas Ngannou was like 240.
I mean, he was already comfortable walking around at that weight. So it's a different mindset. Also, it's a different way he moves. And from this last fight, I don't know, DC better use his wrestling, because if he stands with this dude, I think he's gonna knock his forehead through his asshole. I really do. I mean, come on, did you see that? It was like Mike Tyson almost ish. Right. It was 20 seconds. It was 20 seconds. It was like pop, 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 pop. And he was done. Not only was done, he looked like he was going to the hospital for sure, like immediately, not shaking it off, none of that. He looked fucked up.
You know who had some really good, a really good take on it was Teddy Atlas. Because Teddy Atlas isn't the biggest MMA fan, but you can tell he's getting more and more into it.
Right.
And he said that Ngannou, you know, he says he doesn't have the skill of a Joe Lewis, but he has what what's his name has the guy who just lost the heavyweight that just lost to
Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder, where he doesn't need that kind of skill when you have that kind of power. You can sort of be erratic and have technique that's not proper when you have that type of power.
Right. I just think DC. I saw the interview with DC afterwards, and he said that why wouldn't it be smart for me to take him down? And wrestling.
Of course.
He said, I see the guy's power. And he said, at this stage of the game, why wouldn't I use my wrestling, which is why my strong suit anyway, to beat someone like that? And I just think that DC's right. If he tried to stand and bang with this dude, I swear, I think DC will get killed.
Not him. If anybody in the world.
You said anybody. If Thanos tried to fight this dude, Straight up.
Like, if you could take 20 guys and put them in the octagon, and one by one, stand and bang with Ngannou, and it's going to be Ngannou 20, everyone else 0.
You think so?
I mean,
that would be interesting.
I mean, just one by one. Not, if everyone jumps them at the same time, maybe we got a shot. But it's just one by one going up,
right,
punch for punch. Who's going to beat it? By the way, have you seen Tyson at 53?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He looks like – I mean, he moves as fast as he did before.
No, and the punch he doesn't. Let's not go crazy. But
at least in the clips I saw, it was pop, 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 and he still has that. He still has that.
Watch clips of 17-year-old Mike Tyson. Or
okay. Not 17-year-old, but I'm saying he looked extremely good for a 52-year-old man.
Well, I don't get it. I mean, the guy has lived the life of 30 men. I mean, between jail and this and drugs.
Success and $200 million. And
I mean, you would think he'd be on a cane. And then he smoked pot for 10 years. Like, he has a pot farm. He's got a marijuana farm. Where he's like, yeah, he's going through like an eighth a day or some kind of insane amount of weed. And all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I'm going to get back in shape. And at 53, like, how is that possible? What is...
He's a mutant. I think he's a mutant. I think he signs some pact with the devil or something. I don't know. All I know is that in the clips I saw, he looked good as fuck.
Yeah, but I'm like, how did that happen? How does a guy smoke weed for 10 years and live on a pot farm?
But you know what? Even in the fight recently, if you look at the fight, even though Henry won, I still think that for somebody to have as many surgeries, you know, to have that kind of layoff, he still looked good. And
he's in his 30s. And he didn't live one Mike Tyson month. You know what I mean? A one Mike Tyson month is like, I mean, come on.
I know, but you see, you've seen athletes have long layoffs, or and some reason they're just genetically built for that shit.
Yeah. As far as Dominic, do you think that fight was stopped too early or what?
I think the fight was stopped too early. I think he was when you're against the gate, he was kind of getting his footing and getting back. I think it was stopped too early. I really do. I'm not a Henry fan. I'm not a fan of his, but I'm not. He's just a goofball to me. I mean, I know he's a 3-time. He got the, you know, the Olympic wrestling. I get it, but I'm just not a fan of his. I mean, even when he beat Mighty Mouse, I was like, that was pretty fucking close.
Oh, so close. I was there. I mean, the first time Mighty Mouse wrecked him. I actually thought he was going to win the first fight. I had money on him. I'm like, you know what? And then he got wrecked, and I was like, whoa. And then Mighty Mouse was telling me, I'm like, how did you know? He's like, dude, I saw the guy. He stands flat on his heels, middle of the cage, can't fight going backwards, right knee, it's a wrap. And I was like, wow. And then he made adjustments, and I was at that fight. It was me and Russell Peters and Kelvin Gastelum, and we were going crazy because I was rooting for Henry. Man, how bad does that trade look now, the Ben Askren trade, the Ben Askren for Mighty Mouse? I mean, maybe you got their money's worth, but Askren went 1-2. He's retired. And now Henry's retired, and Mighty Mouse, who was the best in the world, is now in like one FC. I mean, and hasn't lost since that fight, you know,
But I think he beat him, and I don't know what fight they were watching. I thought that Mighty Mouse beat him.
Really?
I thought it was close. It was close. It was close, but I still give it to Mighty Mouse.
Well, back in the day, like with boxing, they would be like, you got to beat the champ to get their belt.
Right, and I think that wasn't the case with this.
But they don't do that in MMA anymore. They just don't do it. It's just not the way it does. I mean, I understand why you would do that, but...
You don't think... Okay, so if it was close, you don't think Mighty Mouse... There was a couple of times, even in the scramble, Mighty Mouse got up, tagged him, backed him up twice with two straight shots. It was killing him on the feet. And he really wasn't dominating fucking wrestling. He really wasn't. Well,
he got the takedowns.
He got the takedown, but what I'm saying is you can get a takedown if you don't keep him down.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know. It was – I thought Mighty Mouse won. I thought Cejudo won 3-2, but it was close. If they would have went the other way, I wouldn't have been like, that's not a robbery.
Right, it's not a robbery, right. And I just think that because he was champion, also, even though he got the takedowns, he still didn't keep – I mean, Mighty Mouse is hard to keep down anyway.
Yeah, he's on a different level. I mean, when he did that thing to Ray Borg, when he threw him up in the air, jumped up, hit him with like an arm bar.
A mid-air arm bar. Who does that?
Yeah, that was insane. That was
But you know who I've seen do stuff, I'd say, out of all the fighters I've seen where I just went, wow. Silva. Silva did weird shit that I had never seen. Uppercut elbows. Uppercut, like, weird uppercut elbows. And, you know, his Muay Thai, when he would clinch on somebody, I was thinking, you're fucked up.
The difference is that Anderson Silva kind of had that Roy Jones thing where they would do everything fundamentally the way you kind of weren't supposed to do it. Like hands down, chin up, lean back. But because your hands are down, you can't see the hands. When they tag you, you're like, you don't know where they're coming from. He would do right. All these things based on his instincts and skill level.
And athleticism.
So eventually it kind of caught up to him. That kind of caught up to Roy Jones. It caught up to Anderson Silva. It never caught up to Mayweather, which it didn't catch up. But he would kind of do everything right in a different way. His defense was insane. But with Mighty Mouse, it was like he would do everything conventional and it worked. You know, right. Like everything was by the book and it was so good. It wasn't like he was doing these crazy techniques that were just getting away with right. Certain things. Kind of like what Ferguson, what he does, is that he does things so unconventional. Eventually it caught up to him.
It caught up to him in this fight, but even the other fights, the first couple rounds, Ferguson would lose or he'd get rocked and knocked down. But then after that, he'd come up with something. He just seemed like this time it was like, no, you're facing his orbital fucking bone. I saw there's a video of him dancing dancing in the hospital. He still felt like, you know what? I'm still one of the best in the world. I like the fact, other than when he pushed him, I thought that was some bitch shit. But he said it was in the middle of the emotion.
I get it. I understand. But, you know, I understand it. By the way, so we got Sokaju coming on, by the way, who I watched Sokaju's fights last night. And
I watched some. I was like, oh, this dude.
I met Sokaju. Tom Galicchio had a comedy show, Toothless Tom, in Temecula. And he put on me. Tom, and then Sokaju was one of the comedians, as well as who was it? Smiling Sam Alvey went on, and I think it was somebody else. And Sokaju was hilarious, like legitimately.
Comedy wise, legitimately
killed. And I was like, I was blown away. I just didn't know much about Sokaju's personality. I knew how good of a fighter he was.
Right.
But he legitimately was hilarious, killed, and just like he came in and like wearing, looking like just ripped and like just some fly gear, I guess you could say. And you could tell this guy has been a ladies' man his whole life.
Yeah. A complete ladies' man.
Sokaju, how are you, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
What's going
good.
On, man?
So yeah, I told you I met you. I think we were at some comedy show, kind of like at a Hooters, like the Tilted Kilt.
Yeah,
the comedy. And you did great that night, man. You killed it.
Thank you. You know, I know you came on, you just killed everybody. I was like, holy shit, I need to be like that guy.
I need to work on those skills. Yeah, he said you were funny, man. So
legitimately funny. Was that your first time doing stand-up?
That was my second time. I did one show a week before. Just a friend of mine, I don't know if you know, Kaika, just called me and said, hey, because I want to see him performing. And I was like, man, I can do that shit. So he called me out. I was like, ah, fuck.
Oh, he called you out. So now you're like, I'm going to have to show you what's up.
Well, he like legitimately were really good, man. I was stunned. Because the other fighters weren't, I don't know, they didn't take it as seriously, but they didn't have like jokes. This guy had like legit jokes. It was really good, man. But what was it like? No, I was reading up about you. I watched a whole bunch of your fights last night.
I watched a bunch last night.
What was it like growing up in Cameroon?
You know, it's totally different. You know, it's different. You know, people are more out there. Because when I first moved to America, you know, I'll go to the street, I'll never see anybody. It'll be cars, it'll be empty streets. Back home, before even we got, people already going left and right, public transportations, people are more, you know, talking and be in contact. But living in America, you can wake up, get in your car, in your garage, go to your destination, come back without ever stepping on your front porch, which, you know, culture-wise. And where I'm from, you can have more than one bitches. I hear
it's not me. It's a hit. Here's one. Okay.
Legally, you can have as many wives as you can. It's legal. So.
Wow.
But I hear one is enough, and then with one, you just want to jump off a bridge because.
Yeah, one is too much. Women have way too many freedoms here. No, I'm kidding. Now, your parents started you in judo at 5 years old.
Yes, sir.
And then you became the champ of Africa. All of Africa, you were the champ.
No, that's where the confusion comes. Africa is a continent. Cameroon is the country where I became number one. In the continent, I was ranked fifth or third. So I moved to America to train so I can go back and compete in the Olympics. Because the way the selection goes is the continent of Africa at the time only had three spots. So you had to compete to be one of the top three so you can go to the Olympics.
Okay, because when they announced you in Pride, they said you were the African champ of judo.
Yeah.
In Japan, they'll say whatever the fuck they want to say.
Whatever works. Yeah, they say whatever works.
I was like, hey, where's the money? She said, call me whatever the fuck you want.
But why did your parents get you into judo?
You know, I remember as a kid, we were watching TV, and then there was a TV show. I can't remember exactly. There were guys who were like, one had a green PJs on, the other one had white PJs, and they would do some shit where they were throwing each other. So I was like, man, that's cool. So the next thing you know, in school with my friends, we started fighting. So I always come home with my clothes beat up, my face beat up. So my parents were like, man, what are we going to do with these kids? Then my brother was like, you know what? I know this guy, he does some judo, so let's take him out there. So they put me to judo, and I never left. So,
oh, my God. Wow. That's crazy. And then so you came to the U.S., and I guess Dan Henderson needed your help?
Yeah, the way it worked is, I remember that one Thursday, I was working security, and then I got fired because the way it works, I was working for Getty Community in Rancho Santa Fe, and then some trucks wouldn't get in because of the weight. So this guy was building a pool. He knew it, and then I was like, dude, look, I showed him the driver. So the homeowner comes, I'm like, man, you know what? You're a big guy. I can come to your gym. I can beat your ass and whatnot. I'm like, dude, I'm just here to collect my freaking dollar and so I can survive. So I wrote a report, and then I believe what happened is the company was like, well, that's a liability. If this guy gets in a fight, then they can sue and whatnot. So let me go. And as I'm driving back, Lou Dimas, a friend of mine, I was working in a club with him. He's like, dude, I know this guy, Dan Henderson, who needs a training partner. I was like, oh, fuck, really? What did they do? They punch? Fuck it, I'm in. So I needed an outlet to let all that anger, and I was just pissed off because that job was awesome. I'll sit all day, do my homework. You know, I mean, security guard, don't get me wrong. All they do is just sit around and do
nothing.
So I showed up out there. I meet Dan. There was Ryan Parsons. There was Art Centauri. There was a bunch of guys. So Dan was like, hey, I'm going to fight this guy. His name is Nakamura. And then, you know, he does, you know judo. He knows judo. I'm like, yeah, I got it. And then Dan punched me so hard. I was like, fuck this motherfucker.
Really? So you just showed up. Have you ever been punched before?
Fuck no. Well, not really. Because, you know, as a kid, you get in a fight. What you do, you take him down. You hold him down. Yeah, you beat him.
Yeah.
You
know,
but no, so I showed up and said, where's your gi? I put my gi on. Ryan Parsons comes, he hands me gloves. I'm like, damn, what are these? So I put some on and he go take Dan down. That's all I got to do? Yeah, just don't get punched. I'm like, fuck, I don't know how to block a punch from a professional.
So fucking Hendo lands an H-bomb on you.
And then the next thing I know, I'm in a corner laying down. What the fuck happened? I couldn't hear what Ryan Parsons was telling Dan. But he was pissed at Dan. And the only thing I heard first was like, he ran into my punch.
What?
So Dan said, you ran into Dan's punch? That's some fucking bullshit right there.
I know. He tripped and fell on my fist.
Oh, my God. So then
Ryan was pissed at him. Hey, dude, these guys here to help you, and then you knock him out? I was like, no, he ran into my punch. I wasn't trying to punch him hard. I didn't punch him hard. I was like, fuck, I love this shit.
Wow. So then,
that's a wild way to start off with Hendo out of all people.
Dude, with Hendo, it's 0 or 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, he goes hard. Yeah.
No, there's no in between. So when you know you're going to spar with Dan, you got to hit him hard first.
That's that's crazy. That's awesome. So then you go 2-1. Your third fight, your 2-0 was against Glover Teixeira. And I watched that fight last night. You were doing well, but then you were going punch for punch with him. That's the wrong guy probably to go punch for punch with, right?
You know what? Going into that fight, I didn't know anything about the guy. And I was at a point where I couldn't get any fight. So every time I get a fight, people would back out. And I remember one of my manager, Ryan Parsons, was like, you know what? No, Dan went to Hawaii, Mayhem Miller had a fight. So I was supposed to fight this guy who pulled out at the last minute. And then somehow his manager was in Hawaii with them. And Dan goes, what the fuck happened? He's like, dude, guy saw you guys' picture on your website. He pulled out. So when Dan came back, they took all my pictures off the website. Like, dude, you fucking motherfucker. They took them all because that's how people were pointing out. They're like, no, fuck that guy. I don't want to fight him.
Yeah.
So they had a fight for me that day, and then the guy also pulled out, and they were like, well, we got this other guy who can fight. I'm like, dude, I got to fight. I need experience. So I showed up there, and then, I fought him. Didn't know who he was.
It was a good fight. I mean, it was actually a really good fight. But Glover's fighting tomorrow against Anthony Smith. Who do you think is going to win?
You know, as much as I respect both of them, I think Glover is getting in the slow end of, you know, when you watch his last fight, he's getting really, really slow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's age or if he's just getting punched too many times. You know, he had a good flow right before he fought, when he fought. He still had some sort of spark, but I feel like he's slowed down a little bit. But he's still dangerous. He's got heavy hands. And, you know, as we age, you know, things, life start happening, family, hobbies, and women, vagina, BJJ. And
but vagina will definitely slow you down.
Well, that's what I got to ask you about. So your next fight is in Pride. So you're 2-1. And then how do you get a fight with Little Nog, Nogueira, in Pride at 2-1 record?
You know what? I cannot tell you how, but I can, from my point of view, what happened is I was supposed to fight Cyborg. So I show up on the Monday sparring day, and then calls me in the office, like, hey, dude, look, I got a good news and a bad news for you. I'm like, oh, fuck, they figured I'm black. <That'll be bad. laughs> So he goes, well, unfortunately, you won't be able to fight Cyborg anymore. I was like, fuck, man. I was counting the dollars in my bank account. I'm like, fuck, now I'm going back to broke.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we have another fight for you, Nogueira, and we double the money. I'm like, fuck, I'm in. I didn't know who the fuck Nogueira was. I was like, with that kind of money, I'll fight anybody.
Yeah.
Then I was like, dude, all you see is dollar signs. You know who that guy is? I'm like, am I getting paid? Yeah, fuck it, I'm in.
So you go out to Pride, and you're a 16-1 underdog. They were giving you no chance.
Like lower than no chance, but I guess they didn't know what's up.
But, and by the way, you look in the crowd. Nicolas Cage is in the crowd.
I know.
Harrison Ford is in the crowd.
It's a big fight.
I think I was not aware of what I was doing because I didn't know who Nogueira was. I didn't know how big Pride was. I didn't know, because I'm coming from judo. In my mind, it's like, what the fuck is MMA? Oh, it's money. Good. So for me, it wasn't really, what's the word? It was really not, I didn't have any pressure because they told me, hey, this is the money you're going to make, win or lose. But if you win, we can add these bonuses and whatnot. I'm like, dude, with the money I'll make for show, that's like all I've made my whole life. I'm like, what? Fuck this guy. I'll kill him.
Can you guys see the fight right now on the screen?
Yeah.
Right. So, talk then, So here you are. You're looking at this guy. I mean, what's going through your mind right now?
Right now, I'm like, man, I'm gonna get paid tonight. Fuck this guy. Because the thing with Pride before the fight, they tell you, hey, we don't care if you win or lose. All we care about is how you perform. So go out there, put a good show, you come back. I was like, man, I'm going to try my kung fu moves on this guy.
You're not worried about his jiu-jitsu at all?
No, because when I watched him fight, his takedowns were not any better than Dan's. Or at the time, I was training with Dan Mayhem. And there's a bunch of wrestlers out there who, looking at him, I knew he was a boxer. And I was like, man, all I got to do now is kick until, because he didn't have any defense for kicking. So I knew if he were to box, he would have won, because there was rumors about him training with, Cuban boxers and whatnot. So I was like, man, I can't get into a boxing fight with this guy. I got to go kick and move. So,
right.
And get paid.
But it looks like the first kick, he didn't totally defend. So the second one, I was like, if he don't put his hand up on that one, he's going out. Because you see the first one was pretty hard. You hit him pretty hard.
For six, I don't know how many weeks, all I was doing was kicking. I was just kicking until.
Now, here's my theory. Here's my theory about what happened, right? All right, you fight Glover Teixeira in Temecula, or I don't know, where were you? A bunch of, chicks. You were out in, whatever casino, girls with, four teeth, whatever. You go out to Pride. It's hot Japanese chicks everywhere. You're like, I can't fucking lose. Look at all look at all this Asian pussy. I know if I'm a huge black dude, there's gonna be pussy everywhere. Is that what happened? Tell me it's true.
Man, you got me. I had a friend of mine who told me once, black, white, whatever, pussy, women's are like this, but Asian pussy is like that. So I had to go figure out for myself.
Well, of course. No.
After that win, how jazzed were you? How excited were you after that win? Because it looks like you just were like, wow.
I was like, I'm getting paid, man. The next thing that came was just money, dollar sign. I was in a place where, imagine coming from a country where I make about $10 a month, to making a lot overnight in 20 and plus seconds. So I was like, man, I can't believe this is happening. I was just in a...
That's some cool shit right there.
Yeah, because at that time I was a student, and being an international student, you have to be full-time and you can't work and you got to pay 10 times what tuition is. So it was going from struggle overnight, like, oh man.
So you were still in school when you fought this guy? When you were still in college when you knocked him out? Wow.
I was still going to school. I was still thinking. Yeah, it was what's the word? It was interesting.
I mean, what were you going to school for?
I was going to keep my visa. I was going to Miramar College. I was just going through general education, kind of not knowing what my major would be and whatnot. So I was kind of just compiling all my units and whatnot.
So were people in your classes like, that's the guy who just knocked out Little Nog?
At the time, MMA wasn't what it is now. At the time you had to actually go look for it. You, as opposed to right now where it's all over, back in the days, you had to be.
Pride has always been huge though. Pride is huge.
Of course. I mean, so, and then your next fight, right? So your next fight is, hold on, see what the next fight. Next fight is against Ricardo Arona, who just knocked out Overeem. So you're fighting a guy, and this is not just like any Overeem. This is juiced up, 97-1 ratio Overeem.
Right.
Are you worried at all? And he also beat Dan Henderson, who's your coach. Are you worried at all about this one?
Going into that fight, that's when I was like 8 weeks right after the first one. I still wasn't in the knowing exactly what MMA was. I was still like, man, this is a great sport. I wasn't, as far as Arona, it was about, I knew he couldn't take me down. I knew he wasn't a better boxer than me. So all I had to make sure is him not taking me down.
Can you guys see this right now? Can you guys see this fight right now?
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah.
So, okay, so this is Ricardo. This guy's a monster. Here you are. Okay, he's going for a takedown. All right, you're defending it. You got left hook, and then this uppercut from hell. look at that. I mean, that uppercut came from Cameroon. Like wow.
That uppercut had to get a
bit. Actually, he was already out in the clinch because I remember when he was trying to take me down, I was punching him, and then he started kind of, if you notice, he's the one who pulled out of the clinch. He felt kind of, you know, out of it and was trying to pull out, so I would catch him. So by the time I hit him, he was already pretty much out.
So you already had wobbled him in the clinch.
Yeah, he was already.
So the uppercut was just the extra frosting on top of the cake.
Yes, sir.
And that was in Japan, too. I mean, it must have been a Hello Kitty convention for you. I mean, right? It would just have been like, just, it must have been insane. I can't
it's
even.
It's raining pussy.
Oh, can I plead the fifth on that one?
Yeah, of course you can. It must have been, wow. I mean, so then, all right. So that was the highlight. Then you go into the UFC and you fight Machida, and who's so awkward. What an awkward guy. Is that what threw you off? Was his movement?
You know, I don't want to be the guy who gives a reason why, you know, he's got his style. Going in there, I knew his style and everything. So there's no need for me to say, hey, yeah, I found out it was awkward. Everybody knows his style and whatnot. I lost the fight. I can sit and give you all kinds of reasons. I can tell you I was injured. I can tell you this. But I've been in fight where I was even more injured. Like the fight against Nogueira, I don't know if you can find footage of me training. There, Team Quest, we had what we call like death, whatever, Mondays and Thursdays, it was sparring. And then those were not sparring sessions, they were fighting sessions. So I remember one day I was sparring, I threw a right hook so hard to where I think I might have broken my thumb. That was like first week or second week in training camp for the Nogueira fight. So I spent a whole camp with a freaking foam around my hand training. Couldn't use my hand. So now I won the fight, but I never came up because he won. Fuck it. Now that I lose the fight, I can see they say, hey, you know what? I had this injury. I had a. No, it's a fight. You never go 100%, but you always go 100% confident. Like, hey, no matter what, I'll win.
Then you I got win, the right?
Do you think you have too many muscles? Like it just seemed like you sometimes you would gas a little bit because you're just too strong. You think maybe you're too strong?
You know, people tend to say a lot more muscle, more oxygen and whatnot. Yeah, so you can go that route. You can, as of today, I would say maybe because talking to people, one mistake I was making a lot is between fight. I will not focus on my aerobic training. I'll just keep working on my anaerobic training. So my aerobic training was left out, like running, doing. I think who do that a lot? Who does it like? The Diaz brother. They do aerobic training.
Yeah.
That's something you never. Why would I run? Fuck, I'm black. I just sprint.
I mean, the cops are probably around. You never.
Yeah, then exactly.
They might shoot me. I'm like, fuck, who's that black guy? Fucking shoot him.
Fuck, man. Is he frozen, Shang?
Yeah, it's frozen.
I think he gassed out on the interview. So could you? You still here? Fuck. Is this his Wi-Fi? What's going on? Is this?
There it is. There it is.
Okay.
One of my favorite fights you had, by the way, because you had so many fights, man. But you fought this guy. This guy is 6'11" white guy, Jan Norte. Oh my God. Like, okay. So here you are. You're standing across from a guy who's 6'11". What is he? 300 pounds?
Dude, he was big, man. I don't even think he had shoes that can fit him. He had to wear flip flops everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, and like you're this. I mean, did you ever have that 5-year-old from Cameroon voice in your head going, what the fuck did I get myself into? Because you're like, you're up against this guy going like, I mean, look at you, look at him. This shit even like, look how, Shane, look how big this guy is.
He's not only tall, he's just big. He's like a gigantor.
Yeah.
But it looks like you walked up on him. You definitely,
and
uh-oh. You
tossed him on his head. And then it was just boom, 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 boom. And then it's over. I mean, that dude. And then people got mad at you for the 7 extra punches. But
was it 7?
It's like, but at the same time, I mean, that was a big guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you gotta give him extra. You gotta give him extra sauce because you know because he was so big. You gotta give him 5 more punches.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a two-piece
combo. Two-piece combo. You had to give me a 2-piece
soda. That was like a 90-piece. Like that was like the whole menu of Popeyes.
the entire menu. No, I want to ask you. So when you first walk in and you see the size of this guy, what was the strategy? Like, to me, I would be chop his fucking legs out. Like, I would definitely throw kicks and chop his legs out. And I noticed you did that, but you went straight to – you just tossed him down, man. Because
as a my background is judo, so in a clinch, no matter how big and strong you are, there's no way you can make any damage because you know it's so close. So my strategy was either I kick from far, or I get in the clinch and try to use my foot sweep to get him down because you know a lot of people are wrestling based takedown training. Whereas I've come from a judo background, so with my foot sweep and whatnot, that's usually how I get my takedowns.
Right.
Yeah, you had some great foot sweeps. I mean, you had a couple on Musasi also that were nice, man. Your throws are awesome. Now, your last fight, bare knuckle boxing against Mighty Mo, it was a great fight. But, man, are we doing that again? That was crazy. That was insane.
That's pretty psycho.
No, because... to tell the truth, the reason I took the fight is because I'm not gonna lie to you. I almost want to say I've never been in a street fight because growing up, a fight will be, hey, I know judo, I take you down, I hold you down, yay, he beat him. So I've never ever, you know, got in a fist fight where the guy is ready, I'm ready, and I, you know, I have no gloves. And so I was like, so when I got the call, hey, you want to fight? Before I even thought about it, I was like, fuck yeah. You know,
yeah, you've never fought a lion either. I mean, or a shark.
Yeah.
Or, like, I mean, what? There are a lot of things you've probably never done. You've never been anally raped, probably. Like, you don't have to just fucking do them to say.
Yeah. But was it something that you just went, yeah, this is on my bucket list? Was it on your bucket list?
You know what? It wasn't on my bucket list until I got called. Like, hey, you want to do it? Like, fuck, I've never done it. Sign me up. And then my coach, Ed Buckley, was like, dude, I didn't even finish telling you about it. You're already saying yes. I'm like, fuck it. Let's just do it.
We got to start saying no to things, man. I mean, listen, nothing left to prove. I mean, you knocked out Nogueira at 23 years old. Yeah. I mean, look at the guys.
Which is a huge deal.
I mean, you fought in UFC, Dream, Affliction, Pride, Bellator, Valor Fights. I mean, there's not one organization that you haven't fought in.
I know. I'm like a whore, man. Fuck.
I mean.
You're not a whore. But no, but you got to look at it this way. Other than you getting paid, I mean, you were doing, it was like you made a name for yourself. As soon as you beat Nog, you elevated. So you like, I think from that fight, it was like, boop, you're automatically in the mix in everybody's eyes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, everything changed from that point on for my career. Yeah.
So once you beat him, so you didn't beat him. You just fucking mollywopped him. That kick was brutal. So after that, you said everything changed. Like immediately, pussy raining from the sky and everything else. No, I'm saying, come on. I know you. Come on. When you become that
dude, if this guy is like as slick as they come. I mean. Yeah, I saw him out of the night. He's got a tight shirt, muscles, V-neck. He's walking around. He's got the tight pants. It's schlong. I mean, this dude is like...
Hey, you have to have the tight pants. They got to see what you're working with. You can't be fucking wearing, like, baggies and shit.
Of course.
So now, you didn't really kick him. You just smacked him with your dick, and that's why Nog went down.
Now, this fight... Now, here's a fight against Bob the Beast Sapp.
Another Gigantor.
You took down the Beast, and then it was just, did you know you broke him at this point?
Oh, man, you know, as soon as he started defending, I was like, well, shit, I better finish this shit before he gets up, because I was watching his fight against Big Nog. I was like, man, if that motherfucker picks me up. And then I watched his fight against Ernesto Hoos, where he knocked him out. I was like, this guy hits me, he's going to hit me back to Africa or some shit. So I
was like, well, I mean, what is with not that he's a Gigantor? They would put you in there with Gigantors, man.
Dude, it's Japan. Like I told you, in Japan, it's all about, hey, the fight's about the entertainment. So, okay, how can we make this card, you know, interesting? Put a fucking huge motherfucker, like a baby motherfucker. And then, so that's what I kind of like with the Japanese scene. It's more about entertaining as opposed to America. Hey, you got to win, you got to win, you got to win, to where you have good fighters who get in there and they get shy. Man, if I lose this fight, I lose my, you know, my income, my livelihood and whatnot. So then they just go to the safe side. Hey, I just want to win.
Of course, yeah. Now, you were pretty much the first fighter from Africa, right? I mean, you like paved the way for these guys like Ngannou and Izzy.
I don't want to say Africa, but Cameroon. As far as Africa, you might be right.
I can't think of anybody else before you.
Yeah. I mean, and I know there was a guy. Well, that's Pride, but UFC probably, yeah.
Wow, I mean that's pretty legendary.
Right. You got to think now. There's a lot of fighters from Africa that are killing it. They're all killing it.
Usman
is no joke, right?
Here's what I'll tell you. It's unfortunate that Africa is in the position where it is right now, because to move to come and compete, you need so much paperwork. You need all this. There are people in my village where Francis Ngannou was born, and even more a little western of that. We call them, I don't know how to say this in English, but we, in a way, we say when they were born, they were getting massages with like gorilla bones to get them strong. Because you got a motherfucker who's never been to the gym. When he gets a hold of your hand, do anything you want, you ain't getting out of it. There's some dudes out there, if I go, I'll be like, please take all my money. Because you have some guys who've never seen freaking a vehicle. Like Francis Ngannou, if you follow his story, he worked. You see how you go to CrossFit gym, you pick thing and you things for an hour and then you go home. That's what the motherfucker would do for 8 hours a day. So he'll be fucking labor working like extremely hard, digging holes. Hey, you get a sledgehammer, you do 10 hits. Yeah, I worked out. Some dudes out there, their lifestyle is like, imagine going to a CrossFit gym for 8 hours. That's what he does for fucking all day.
You think people are just tougher over there?
Yeah. The downside is a lot of us, we just focus on strength, not technique. So when you get a guy who's like Francis Ngannou, he's getting better at technique. But imagine, Francis Ngannou's in Cameroon, will say he'll be average.
Wow.
Great athlete, great whatever. But if you go in like our villages, like people who like live in the villages who have, like in my village, when I was out there, there was no water, no electricity. There was a well, it was like 40 meters deep. If you want water, you got to fucking go. So when you wake up in the morning, you got to go fill up the tanks. You got to go get the water. So lifestyle is so hard to where you're working out pretty much every day without even knowing. It's out here that I realized, shit, for you to actually go to, like, you'll see funny memes with some guy waking up in the morning, getting his driveway, go get a newspaper, going in. Like me going to Jito, going to work at the workouts, I'll walk for 30 minutes, work out, walk back for 30 minutes. I'll do that twice a day. For me, it was normal. Now, try to tell me to do that even once a week. I'll be like, fuck that shit, I have a vehicle.
Wow. You think that, are the women from Africa more aggressive?
That'll fuck you up, bro.
Because I see some of the videos of them dancing, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't even
know. I kid you not. Some women will. You remember how, no disrespect to Cyber, but you know how people say, oh, that was a man? Yeah. She'll get her ass beat out there because women are like.
I seen some videos and I was just like, okay, I am sorry.
It seems like at the club, if they want to dance with you, they're gonna dance with you. Like right. They're gonna put their ass like you're gonna be like you have no choice in the matter. Like you're gonna get twerked on if that's what they want. Like,
but I was gonna ask you, what African fighter? Since Adam was bringing it up, this is a good point. Do you look at and go, that's the man? Like, out of all the ones right now in the UFC, because some of them, like, two of them are champions. And I think the next one is going to be champion, at least from the what I saw in this fight recently.
Yeah, you know what? One guy I was looking at was Njokwani, I believe. I thought he was – I don't know what happened to him. He kind of fell off the radar.
He's in 1FC now.
Oh, wasn't he in the UFC?
He was, yeah. He had trouble with wrestlers. Wrestlers were like his Achilles heel, and now he's doing really good. He's in 1FC.
Because I know he had a brother also who was in
that. Chitty Bang, yeah. He was in Bellator. He got cut from Bellator, but now he's I think he might be 1FC also. But there's a guy named Sadiq Youssef, who's really good from Africa. Sadiq, right. He might be the next one, the next big thing.
But some of them had to work on their wrestling, and then when they come back and they figure that out, they become monsters.
Yeah, even when you look at Francis, he's a striker. So he was lucky enough, if you watch his fight against Stipe, the only reason he lost was because of the wrestling. So now he's smart enough to kind of go, hey, fuck that. I got to, you know, get my wrestling up. Because as crazy as it sounds, wrestling in Africa, in Cameroon especially, it's really, no one even watches wrestling. It's more judo compared to wrestling.
It's more upper body, right? It's more like heroes.
No, if you go to Cameroon, wrestling would be like, what the fuck is wrestling? But when you say judo, people know judo.
Right. Which
is total opposite here. Yeah. So,
yeah. What about Stylebender?
You know, I don't want to say, because was he born in that? Because
he's from New Zealand, right? Doesn't he claim New Zealand?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He grew up in New Zealand, but he's from that.
Yeah, I love the fact that at least he you know, let people know, hey, this is where I'm from. But, you know, I don't know how to say this properly without offending anybody. I don't look at him as, you know, hey, he was born and raised in Africa and now he's in the USC, like Francis Ngannou. I don't know about Usman, but, you know, people who, like Ngannou, that dude's got a freaking interesting story because he fucking walked from Cameroon to like Europe. I was like, man, he fucking crazy.
He's like Forrest Gump. He's like the Forrest
Gump. No, he's Forrest Gump that'll beat your ass. That's he's like if Forrest Gump, life is like a box of knuckles and he just starts beating the shit out of you. But no, I mean, no, actually, Stylebender was born in Africa, but you know, he born in Africa, he started in Africa, then he went to New Zealand. So that's why, but he still reps Africa. He's always,
yeah, I mean,
he's never said that. Yeah.
A lot of us, once we come out of Africa, we start forgetting our roots, where we came from, kind of start, you know, embracing Western culture and forgetting about, because what I've noticed is a lot of us, when we move out here, you know, our cultures, traditions and all that, we throw it away because, you know,
I've actually been to Africa twice. I've been to Djibouti, Africa, for the military, for the U.S. shows for the military, and they took me out, and we were giving out like bottles of water that were this big to kids, and you would think that we gave them like $1 million. Like, I've never felt more spoiled and fortunate in my life than when I saw what those kids dealing with. Right. I couldn't imagine,
dude. Where I'm from. Every Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's known that there will be no water coming out. There was no water. And my last visit about 7 years ago, there was no water for a week and there was no complaint. People was like, ah, fuck it. I here try to cut water for an hour.
I know.
I'm like, fuck this motherfucker.
It'd be not an hour, a half an hour. A half an hour, they would be like, what's going on with the water?
Fucking shit, man. I can't.
We're making it rain with like dollars. They want actual rain.
They want actual,
just fucking make it rain. Like, holy shit. That's crazy. But
I think that, no, it's like I was saying, I was online talking to people about the fights. Because I watched the fights, and I think the most impressive fight was, I'd say Ngannou was the most impressive just out of all of them, the knockout-wise.
You think so? But that guy had the worst strategy. Like, go punch
with fucking no, guys. I know he shouldn't be trying to bang with him. It was a dumb, but what I'm saying, it was impressive. Come on, man.
Hey, everybody's got a strategy until you're facing Ngannou.
Yeah, but my strategy would be like either run out of the cage or dive for an ankle. Like, it would not be stand there and try to punch him, you know?
But the reason he did that is because he had some impressive knockouts. And he does have power. So he thought he could go power for power with him.
Yeah.
And he found out he couldn't.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he should have been smarter because when you know, one thing I've used to kind of figure out is Arlovski, both of them fought him. It took, 2 seconds for Ngannou to knock out Arlovski, but it took the other guy till the last minute of the – was it the fifth or
– I think you mean over him. You mean over him.
Over him, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
over
yeah, yeah,
him. At the last minute.
It was the last minute of, yeah, it was.
So when I'm like, dude, this guy can punch you for days but not put you out. Ngannou only takes his pinky to knock you out. So,
yeah, I think that he's going to be, if he doesn't fight Stipe, he's going to fight Cormier. I think he's going to be the champion. I really do.
I don't know,
but because Cormier is a good, great wrestler. I don't know.
Cormier is a great wrestler, but the problem with Cormier, if you watch his fight against Stipe, he'll take punches to get in the clinch. I'm like, dude, you got to find a better way to get in the clinch because you watch, he'll take punches. And Stipe at the last minute, like, man, let me try the body. And that's how he won because he'll come with his head. I'm like, dude.
But I noticed in your fights, a lot of times you would use kicks to get the distance, like kicks to get in, and once you kick their leg a couple times, they're like, "Ow, fuck! He's kicking the shit out of my leg." They would get tentative, and then you grab them, and then it'd be like, "Ugh!" You know, I was like, "That's what I've noticed." Like, I watched last night, he had hit me. I already knew who you were, and I went online and watched fights. I was like, "Yo, you got some. Your kicks are no joke, man."
Yeah, dude. When you knocked out what's his name, the Asian guy in the UFC with the kicks. The chubby Asian dude. What is it?
Nakamura,
right?
Nakamura, yeah.
That was awesome. I mean, you took his soul.
You definitely you said you took his soul. Like when you kicked him, you saw his image just float out of the fucking gone.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? Maybe this is not my weight class. And then he was
he went down to 85.
He went down in weight, but. I think that
he went down during the fight. He was like
you say during the fight. No, but I watched your fights and I noticed that you used it. You definitely always went to the leg, inside, and then after that, once they got tentative, it seems that's when you got in on them, or you kicked them in the head, and knocked them the fuck out. So is that was that like when you were think you would always think that like use that to work your way in?
Yeah, because at the time when I was studying a lot of fighters, a lot of them were boxers and wrestlers. And when you look at the stance, you know, they have that stance where blocking kicks was really not, you know, effective. So I had to use that at my advantage because I think I was one of the few back then who were, you know, and I love Muay Thai, who was trying to use more of my legs. Everybody was going boxing and wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So I was trying to come with a different approach.
Now, where did you come up with that mask, by the way?
I don't know. I was actually, it was a Halloween, and then I ordered the costume from this. Because people are coming to Predator. So I ordered for Halloween, and it showed up the day before I was going to the UFC. So I ordered way before Halloween, and then, you know, this freaking Chinese. When you buy shit online, you don't know it comes from China, and then they tell you it comes in 10 days, but comes like the virus comes like it fucks everything.
Right, of course.
So it came the day before, and I opened. I'm like, let me fucking wear this shit.
Now it became like huge. I mean, it's like the biggest meme ever. Like people still.
Yeah, my manager was like, "No, don't worry. It's gonna be this." And I'm like, "Man, you fucking know. I got this."
That was awesome.
But it worked, though. You were right, because immediately people were like, oh, that shit is cool. Like, yeah.
I mean, it worked till Deontay Wilder tried it and then blamed it on blamed his loss on the costume. Yeah. I think that's your
Deontay fault. Deontay Wilder, you stop that. Stop that one-off, one thing. Tyson Fury did a lot of little dirty shit, but Deontay Wilder needs to work on his defense more. That's all. Once he gets his defense up with that kind of power, he'll be back. Because he got power. That motherfucker hits you, and your great-great-grandmother feels it.
He's got bad intentions.
Yeah, he got – like, he punched. But I think that even the first fight, Fury, man, that Fury got counted out. I don't know why they let him get back up. He was out.
I don't know. I you know what? I'll watch Deontay Wilder fight anybody. Because, you know, the dude's just like, you're right. You know, what do you think of Sokol? What do you think about Tyson at 53? See those videos?
I love him, but why?
He's already, yeah, I don't know. He's rich. He's still rich. Wow.
No, don't get me wrong. He'll fuck motherfuckers up. He will kill you. Why?
Would you fight him?
Put the money in some bitches, I'll fuck him up.
Throw a couple well-placed kicks to his leg.
I think so. Could you, Tyson?
Puts his guard down.
Sokol versus Tyson would be huge.
Huge. But right now he wants to fight Holyfield. Holyfield's 57 and 57. Mike Tyson's 53. They want to do the trilogy.
Oh, come on! Fight.
I'm just telling you, it's all over the internet. I think it's silly. I think Mike Tyson shouldn't fight anymore. It was impressive what he did with the pads, but he should just chill. And just
this time he'll like bite his, dentures out instead of his ear. He'll go right for the fucking he'll take his teeth out. Like, come on!
I mean, what's he gonna fight like for? Like what?
Exactly. What, you know?
For the best, for the gold depends. But yeah, but you'll watch it. You come on. I'll watch it.
You would watch it?
Are
you
serious? I'll watch it, but I'll be like, what? You know how when there's like an accident, you don't want to watch it, but you're like watching it? You know, yeah. It's going to be horrible.
I wouldn't watch it. I couldn't watch Tito versus Chuck Liddell. I was like, why would I watch this? This is not, they're too old. They were too old. Well, not at least Chuck Liddell looked like he was.
Yeah, he came on like a walker.
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't watch Mike Tyson fight now because it's like, for what?
I would still watch it.
You would still watch it, Adam? Are you serious?
During quarantine, I'd watch anything. I'd fucking watch it. Come on.
I don't know. I would just be like, I would be like, I don't want to see this. I just don't want to see Mike Tyson fight. Not now.
I mean, if you were to ask me, I'd say, no, don't fight. But if he fights, fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're going to give him that Floyd Mayweather money, even though he's Mike Tyson.
That's all I need for.
Nobody is Floyd Mayweather.
So what's the point of fighting? Because money, I mean, he's not going to get the kind of money he was making back in the days.
Right.
Fame. Dude, who doesn't know Mike Tyson? What's the, you know, I don't know. Go get a bunch of bitches, try to do a marathon with them, and, you know, I don't know.
It's not like he already had that.
So find a way to get your dick sucked by a fish or some shit.
Your dick sucked.
That's why. Like, even with Floyd Mayweather, when he came back, but Floyd Mayweather, it was one. He was much younger than Tyson. It was still interesting when he fought Conor. Even though I think he carried Conor, honestly, people say he didn't. But I watched it again because I've been on quarantine. I watched it again, and I really do think he carried him because there was a couple times where you could see he was getting uppercutted and just kept walking forward on Connor, and like, so what? That's an uppercut. And then later they said, is that the hardest hit you ever hit? He said, no. He said, there's been people that hit me way harder.
Of course.
Yeah. But boxing's different. But yeah, if you fought Tyson, you take his legs out from under him.
The only good thing that comes from the Tyson thing is it's kind of validated the MMA community because he's using the MMA trainer, not a boxing trainer. So that's the only, I think that's called the Cordero, whatever his name is.
Oh, Happy Cordero, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. So I'm like, well, at least that's a good thing for MMA. He wants to come back, but doesn't trust boxing trainers, but at least trust MMA trainer to come so he can come back. That's the only good takeaway I have from all these social media propaganda. But
wow. Well, listen, Sokol, it was an honor to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, man.
You're a living legend. Thank you for
and
coming.
Funny as hell.
Thanks for coming to the comedy shows. Let me know when you want to do comedy again.
right, shit. I've been thinking about it. I was like, man, you should give it a shot, huh?
Let me know whenever you want. Whenever you want. That would be awesome.
What was the name of that chick? Remember, you made a comment about how I get paid by
you get paid by white bitches or something, or
yeah, and then you pointed at a girl. I forgot her name.
Who was it? I think his penis is so big it hits the girl in like the Zoom ahead of him. I go, come on, let's see. And then he plays along.
You should do it again, man. You should do it again.
All right, let me get my material. Let me work on a few things, and I'll be back.
That'll be awesome. Well, thank you, Shang. Thank you, Sokuju.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great rest of the day.
Have a great rest of the day. All right, Adam.
Take care, guys.
Түүний сонс тө
хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та дас тоотан дөрвөлэн боруулаа.